the book of Judges, and God raises up these judges to deliver the children of Israel. Abimelech raises up himself. He's not a judge in Israel and throughout the book of Judges. He's a self-made king. He made himself to be something that God surely didn't want him to be. And we said this chapter is what we call the rule of ruin. The rule of ruin. I'm going to do some recapping. We looked at the first six verses and we saw Abimelech's revolt. How he revolted against God's way, made himself to be king, teamed up with the people of Shechem, amen, which was his mother's hometown, and they went and slew the sons of Jerubbaal, which was Gideon, and Jotham escaped. You remember? We talked about him last week. And so we see in the rule of ruin, we see, number one, Abimelech's revolt. Number two, we see Jotham's rebuke. Jotham stood up in verse 7 through verse 21 and rebuked the people for making Abimelech king. He rebuked Abimelech, amen, for making himself to be king. And then he went away and went to Beer and dwelt there for fear of Abimelech, his brother. Amen. He was the one that escaped out of all the others that were slain of the 70. Now we're in verse 22 through verse 57, which is a long way through the chapter here, and a lot of verses to try to cover tonight. But we entitled this, The Repercussions, Shechem's Repercussions. There's repercussions for the actions that were made. Well, Abimelech made himself to be king. Jotham, the one of the brothers that fled for his life, stood up and rebuked him openly for making that bramble bush to rule over them, amen. And he talked about the judgment that was going to come, and that's what we'll see in the end of this chapter, is the judgment that's coming to the people of Shechem and also to Abimelech, the repercussions for their actions. Now, to throw this out there, kind of stay with me a little bit. And I know we've been studying this chapter and we've mentioned Abimelech. And I hope you got a little bit of grasp of who he is. He's that self-made king. The people of Shechem are the people of the land of his mother's hometown that he kind of caused them to side with him and anoint him to be king. And we're going to add a few more characters in here tonight. And I want you to see it. And I'm slowing down attentionally, amen, because I realize that when I'm studying and I'm reading it over and over, I'm getting it real good, but these names might be a little foreign to some of you. So we have Abimelech, the self-made king. We have the men of Shechem, which are the men of his mother's hometown, that kind of self-made him to be king. We'll see number three, we'll see this other guy that comes within the picture. This is Gaal. Gaal is the one that comes by the men of Shechem, which they turn on Abimelech, the men of Shechem do, and they want Gaal to be their new leader. And that's what happens when you team up with the world, worldly people, amen, they'll cut your throat to get somebody else later. Yep. That's the way it always works. Well, I don't care what you try to do. If it's against God, no matter what age group you're in, whether it be friends and teenagers or out on the job with the world, and you try to cut somebody else's throat to get yourself up the self-made ladder, amen, and team up with Abimelech, which is against God, and God's people shouldn't be teaming up with evil people, no matter who we are, sooner or later you'll turn on Abimelech, amen, and find you a Gaal somewhere to side with them to try to do evil. That's just the way it works. We don't care whose throat we cut, as long as we get what we want. And the men of Shechem, they cut Abimelech's throat or tried to, and want to anoint Gaal to be their new king. We'll see him tonight. And also we'll see number four, Zubal. Amen. He is Abimelech's officer. He is the man that kind of held the fort down when Abimelech was somewhere else. He was the man that he left in charge, and we'll see him tonight. And then we'll see the people of Thebes. This is the city at the end of the chapter where Abimelech tries to destroy them and where God ultimately destroys Abimelech. So let's try to get in a little bit tonight. Look in verse 22. We'll read it. And we'll try to read it and let you get a hold of these new characters. Verse 22, Jotham has rebuked Abimelech, that self-made king, right? What's the first word there? When Abimelech had reigned 3 years over Israel, then God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. Those people that kind of teamed up together to make him king, now there's an evil spirit between those two. And the men of Shechem dwelt treacherously with Abimelech, that the cruelty done to the 70 sons of Jerubbaal might come. Now who was Jerubbaal? Help me. Gideon, right? They killed his sons. The man that God used to deliver them from the trouble of the Midianites. So the Bible says God sent an evil spirit between those two to cause havoc in their lives because of the cruelty that they had done that Jerubbabel might come. Their blood, in the middle of that verse there, verse 24, and their blood he laid upon Abimelech, their brother, which slew them, and upon the men of Shechem, which aided him in the killing of his brother. So God said, it's coming back on you. You're not going to get by for your evil. Verse 25, and the men of Shechem set liars in wait for him in the top of the mountains, and they robbed all that came along that way by them, and it was told Abimelech. Now you see that evil spirit between the men of Shechem and Abimelech beginning to work here, and now the people are coming to the city, and the men of Shechem are kind of cutting them off and trying to sway them to their side to try to overthrow Abimelech. And this is where that other character, Gaal, comes in verse 26. And Gaal, the son of Eber, came with his brethren and went over to Shechem, and the men of Shechem put their confidence in him. Now the men of Shechem have turned their back on Abimelech and are going to team up with Gaal. You with me? Verse 27. And they went out into the fields. This is the Gaal and the men of Shechem, and gathered their vineyards and trod the grapes, and made merry, and went into the house of their God, and did eat and drink, and did what? Cursed Abimelech. And Gaal, the one that they want to be their new leader, look what he does. And Gaal, the son of Eber, said, who is Abimelech? And who is Shechem, that we should serve him? Is not he the son of Jerubbabel? And Zebulun, there's that other guy, his officer, that's the officer of Abimelech. He said, now here's Gaal's statement. He said, serve the men of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for why should we serve him? So Gaal begins to rebuke and say, hey, who is this Abimelech? Why should he be ruler? And what about his officer Zebulun? We don't really care about him neither. Verse 29, and would to God this people were under my hand. Gaal said, if I was your leader, I'd take care of you better than that. Kind of sounds like Absalom. Remember him when he tried to overthrow David? I wish you would agree to God that this people were under my hand. Then would I remove Abimelech. Mighty bold talking when you're drunk. And he said to Abimelech, increase thine army and come up. And when Zebulun, the ruler of the city, heard the words of Gaal, the son of Eber, his anger was kindled. Now that Zebulun, or Zebul, was that officer, he said in verse 28, of Abimelech. And when he heard what was going to happen to his ruler, he kind of got upset about him talking about him like that. His anger was kindled. Now look, and he sent messengers unto Abimelech privately saying, behold, Gaal, the son of Eber, and his brethren be come to Shechem. And behold, they fortify the city against thee. Now therefore, up by night. His counselor's giving him some advice to Abimelech. This is Zebulun here. Now, therefore, up by night, thou and the people that is with thee, and lie in wait in the field. And it shall be that in the morning, as soon as the sun is up, thou shalt rise early and set upon the city. And behold, when the people that is with him come out against thee, then mayest thou do to them as thou shalt find occasion. Now Gaal, the new anointed leader of the people of Shechem, or they want to be, has said, we're going to destroy Abimelech. And Zebulun, his counselor, heard about it. And so Zebulun sent privately to Abimelech to let him know what was going to happen. And said, Abimelech, rise up real early. Get yourself ready because Gaal and the men of Shechem are coming to overthrow you. And you'll catch him off guard and you'll destroy them. Now Zebulun let him know privately. And look what he does here. Verse number 34. And Abimelech rose up, and all the people that were with him by night, and they laid wait against Shechem in four companies. He divided them into groups. A strategical army battle against the people here. And Gaal, look, there he is. The son of Eber went out. He don't know that Abimelech already knows and is already set up. He went out and stood in the entering of the gate of the city, and Abimelech rose up. And the people that were with him from lying in wait. When he saw Gaal come, his people started coming in on him. You with me? Look in verse 36. And when Gaal saw the people, he saw them out there. He said to Zebulun, This is the counselor of Abimelech. This is the one that privately let Abimelech know what was going to happen, but he's still over there with Gaal and the men of Shechem. He's in their company and he's kind of letting them know what's letting Abimelech know what to do when they come his way. He's a privately is deceiving Gaal and the men of Shechem. You with me? And Zebul, you know, he says this in verse 36, and when Gaal saw the people, he said to Zebul, "Behold, there come people down from the top of the mountains." And Zebul said unto him, "Thou seest the shadow of the mountains as if they were men." His counselor, Abimelech's counselor, said, "That ain't what you see. That's a shadow, man. Ain't nobody coming." He's still working. You see how he's working? Look. And Gaal spake again, verse 37, and said, "See, there come people down by the middle of the land, and another company come along by the plain of Meonim." And they divided into groups, right? He's seen another company over there. Then said Zebul unto him, "Where is now thy mouth, wherewith thou sayest who is Abimelech and who should serve him?" You saw it real big the other night when you was drunk. Where's that mouth at now? Verse number 38, the end of that verse. "Is not this the people that thou hast despised? Go out, I pray you, and fight with him. Go destroy him." And Gaal went out before the men of Shechem and fought with Abimelech. And Abimelech chased him, and he fled before him. And many were overthrown and wounded, even unto the entering of the gate. And Abimelech dwelt at Armah. And Zebul thrust out Gaal and his brother. Now the council of Abimelech, Gaal's came back, and Zebul says, "Oh, you ain't with us. Go on and fight him, man. We ain't on your side." He thrust out Gaal and his brother that they should not dwell in Shechem. So what's Zebul doing? He's trying to make a little bit of comfort here, and he's trying to save some men of Shechem. It was Gaal and some of that crowd that ran their mouth. He said, "You go out and fight him." Remember, Zebul had said, "Hey, Abimelech, Gaal's coming." He kind of let him know ahead of time. You know what Zebul's doing? He's kind of offering Gaal to say, "Go ahead and destroy him, but Abimelech, you remember us, we kind of let you know he was coming, take care of us." Look. And it came to pass, verse 42, on the morrow that the people went out into the field, and they told Abimelech. And he took the people and divided them into three companies, and laid wait in the field and looked. And behold, the people were come forth out of the city, and he rose up against them and smote them. And Abimelech and the company that was with him rushed forward and stood in the entering of the gate of the city. And the two other companies ran upon all the people that were in the fields and slew them. And Abimelech fought against the city all that day. And he took the city and slew the people that was therein and beat down the city and sowed it with salt. And when all the men of the tower of Shechem heard that, they entered into an hold on the house of the god Beeroth. And it was told Abimelech that all the men of the tower of Shechem were gathered together. And Abimelech gat him up to the mount to Mount Zalmon, he and all the people that were with him. And Abimelech took an axe in his hand and cut down a brow from the tree and brought it and laid it on his shoulder and said unto the people that were with him, "What ye have seen me do, make haste and do as I have done." And all the people likewise cut down every man his brow and followed Abimelech and put them into the hold and set the hold on fire upon them, so that all the men of the tower of Shechem died, also about 1,000 men and women. Then went Abimelech to Thebes, that's that other city. I mean, he's destroyed the men of Shechem, and now he says, "I'm just going to enlarge my border a little bit and show my power, and I'm going to destroy another city, and I'm going to show them who I am." And Abimelech came to Thebes and encamped against Thebes and took it. But there was a strong tower within the city, And thither fled all the men and women, and all they of the city, and shut it to them, and gat them up to the top of the tower. The same way the men of Shechem did, they went to that tower of the worship of Baal, the god Bareth. Now these men of Thebes have went to their tower, and kind of the same thing's going on. And the Bible said in verse 52, and Abimelech came into the tower and fought against it, and went hard into the door of the tower to burn it with fire, just like he did before with the other city. And a certain woman cast a piece of a millstone upon Abimelech's head, and all to break his skull. Then he called hastily unto the young man, his armor bearer, and said unto them, draw thy sword and slay me, that men say not of me, a woman slew him. And his young man thrust him through, and he died. And when the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, they departed every man into his place. Thus God rendered the wickedness of Abimelech, which he did unto his father in slaying his 70 brethren, and all the evil of the men of Shechem did God render upon their heads. Shechem got it from Abimelech, and Abimelech got it from a woman. God got them all for what they had done. And upon them came the curse of Jotham, the son of Zerubbabel. Just as Jotham had prophesied and preached to them what was going to happen, it came to pass, and Shechem and Abimelech were killed. Let us pray. Brother John, how about pray for us tonight? Yes, yes. Amen. May God add a blessing to the reading of His Word. Now we're dealing with Shechem's repercussions. And you say Shechem, but it's also the repercussions on Abimelech. Amen. They got exactly what Jotham had prophesied and preached to them would come to pass. And they were ultimately killed in the end. Look in verse number 23. And then God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. And the men of Shechem dwelt treacherously with Abimelech. The repercussions of Shechem and Abimelech. But the Bible said that Shechem dwelt treacherously with Abimelech. The men of Shechem did. I want to look at this tonight in three ways. The treacherous dealings. That's what we'll see in verse 22 through verse 26. The treacherous doings, because dealings lead to doings. That's what happens when you're treacherous, amen, and deceptive and deceiving. And those doings will take place in verse 27 through 45. And then the treacherous destruction in the end in verse 42 through 57. So you have treacherous dealings that lead to treacherous doings, and treacherous doings leads to treacherous destruction, amen. These are the repercussions that come on the people that had went against God. So the treacherous dealings. Look in verse number 22. The Bible said, when Abimelech had reigned 3 years over Israel. Now Jotham has rebuked him in the previous verses. He stood up and preached on that mountain and told them what was going to happen for making himself to be king, and the men of Shechem teaming up with him to do evil. And when you team up to do evil, amen, the man of God should say, hey, this is what's coming your way, and that's what exactly what Jotham preached. But here's what happens, amen. Hey, 3 years he reigned over Israel. You know what that shows? Here's Jotham getting up there one day and said, here's what's going to happen for you going against God. Here's what's going to happen for making him to be your king and disobeying the Lord and not wanting God to be your king and not wanting God to be your leader. 3 years went and nothing happened. 3 years and Abimelech reigned, and it just seemed like, well, Jotham's a liar. That preacher ain't telling the truth. Ain't nobody believe what he got to say. He said judgments was coming. We ain't seen no judgment. That's the way people are today, amen. You preach this and what's going to happen when you disobey God. God's going to bring judgment in your life. And you sit back and 3 months go, no judgment. 3 years go by, no judgment. 13 years go by and there's no judgment. Hey, but God might not pay on Friday, but you mark it down, God will pay, amen. Hey, 3 years went by and they thought, well, we have made it, and God didn't see nothing that we done, amen. It's the way people live today. You think, well, I got by. I've been living like hell the last 3 months and ain't nobody seen nothing. My mama don't know. My daddy don't know. The preacher don't know. My Sunday school leader don't know. The leaders have no clue what's going on in my life. But you mark it down, there's a God in heaven. He knows exactly what's going on in your life. And you're going to be repercussions for your disobedience against the Lord. God will pay. Amen. Hey, you know what do you see in verse 22? You see a false peace. And this false peace convinces them that Jotham's rebuke was not true. God ain't going to do nothing like that. God loves me and ain't nothing going to come my way. I'm telling you, lying to yourself. Hey, the devil's lying to you. The world's lying to you. You're not going to lay down with this old world and God not judge you for your disobedience against the Lord. Amen. And I know it's a little hard, especially when you're kind of dealing with some hardships and kind of maybe you already feel like you're a little low. Like the brother said tonight, let's sing to the soldiers of the cross. Let's lift up the spirits a little bit. And nobody wants to be reminded of our disobedience. But I'm telling you, hey, you play around with God all you want to. Hey, God's going to pay up. It might seem like you're getting by, but you will not get by going against God. Amen. There's repercussions for your decisions in life. Amen. It will come home to roost. Amen. Amen. You're not going to lay down with the dogs and not get the what? Fleas. It ain't going to happen. Amen. There's a false peace of 3 years of peace. Amen. And this is what happens. Look, hold your place here and look in Ecclesiastes chapter number 8. Here's a good verse for it. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, right? Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Lay your eyes on this verse. Think you're getting by. 3 years went by. They thought they got by. You ain't going to get by, amen. God's going to pay. Ecclesiastes chapter number 8. Look in verse number 11. You got it? What's the first word there? Because sentence against an evil work is not executed how? Speedily. 3 years went by. Jotham had preached. God had said what was going to happen. Sent the man of God that way. Because sentence against the evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the hearts of the sons of men is fully set in them to do what? That's what you do, amen. That's what the world kind of does to you. That's what your flesh does to you, amen. Hey, we've got by. Nothing's came our way. I've heard the preaching. Yeah, I've heard the warnings, but I'm still going to go my own way. And I've had a good life doing it. Hey, just hold on, hold on. Payday's coming, amen.
Amen.
God will pay up, amen. It might not be speedily, but it's going to come, amen.
Yeah.
You know what the problem is? When it don't come speedily, we tend to turn our hearts to keep doing more evil. Yeah. And keep following our sins, amen. This is what happens. Look back to Judges chapter 9. So there's 3 years of false peace. But God ends up paying. How does God pay? In verse 23 and 24, then God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. The men of Shechem and the men of Abimelech are doing real good. And they at peace among one another. And you know what God does? Not the devil. Not the world. God sends an evil spirit between Shechem and Abimelech. God puts them at odds with one another. The same two that teamed up to override God, to make Abimelech king, amen, and kill the sons of Jerubbaal, except Jotham that fed, the same people that teamed up to do evil, God put an evil spirit between them two to want to fight one another. And that's what's going to happen. You go team up with some worldly person in the church, some worldly person in the world, and you go team up to do evil, and you go think, well, we just having a good time. Nobody knows what's going on. Well, we just living the life, ain't we? We just having a great, grand time. It's just fun to feel the lust of the flesh. And I'll tell you, that same one you teamed up with is probably the one God's going to put an evil spirit between you two and cut each other's throat.
Yeah,
how many times you seen that? You both live like hell, and then you get caught in your mess, and both of you turn on one another to blame the other one for what you done.
Yeah.
You ain't going to get by teaming up with somebody to do evil. Yeah. Hey, God has sent an evil spirit between you two and you'll hate one another for what you done. Yeah. And try to destroy one another to justify you being right. And this is what happened. God sent an evil spirit. Hey, God ain't going to let the stuff go on but so long. God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem, and the men of Shechem dwelt treacherously with Abimelech, that the cruelty done on the 70 sons of Jerubbaal might come, and their blood be laid upon Abimelech, their brother, which slew them, and upon the men of Shechem, which aided him in the killing of his brother. God said, I'm paying both of you up for it. Yeah, it was Abimelech that raised up, but you was the one that made him king. And you go ahead and run with that kind of crowd and try to justify what you're doing and live in wickedness all you want to. God's going to separate the two, and you go cut one another's throat to try to lift yourself out of the mess, but God's going to judge you both.
Yep.
So what he'll do? And you know, that's how it works. That nobody, half the time, nobody likes to sin by themselves. You always got to have a companion somewhere, you know. Just kind of like human nature. We like to kind of feel justified. We get somebody else to do it. We feel good about what we're doing. Go ahead and team up with them. God's looking.
Yeah.
It's a warning from God tonight. Maybe there's somebody in the place tonight doing that kind of mess. And you go ahead and do that kind of mess and team up with people like that. That's the same people that's going to cut your throat.
Yeah.
Ain't it amazing? You got there doing sin, and the one, and when you get caught, you slam your friend down into the bus, amen, to try to justify what you done.
You're right. All right. Yep.
That's the way it works. You think they're your friend. Hey, Shechem thought Abimelech was the friend. Abimelech thought they were his friends. They were his mother's family in his hometown. And no matter who they are, when you get caught and God starts to judge, amen. Everybody's going to start barking.
Amen.
Judgment. They start dealing treacherously with one another. Evil friends will turn on you every time. Amen. And it was God that sent an evil spirit, by the way. Same thing he did with you get over to the book of Samuel next. The same thing God done with Saul. God sent an evil spirit to Saul. People's king. He went against God, and God said, I'll give you some of it back. It was an evil spirit of God sent in 1 Kings chapter 22 to make Ahab to team up with Jehoshaphat to go out there and do what he did. God said, who am I going to send to lie? Who's going to lie for me? And God raised up prophets with an evil spirit to go and lie to Ahab and Jehoshaphat to team up together to go out there that God might destroy Ahab. Thank God you're going to get by. God will raise it up. God will stir it up. That's God. You say, oh, they just coming back. They mad at me. No, maybe God got them mad at you so it'd come out. And all they had was one man of God over there, just like Jotham here, Micaiah over there, that stood up and said, I ain't lying. I'm going to tell you what God said. We don't like him, you know. He don't always tell the truth. He always prophesies evil against me. You can blame it on the man of God. No, God said, you blame it on whoever you want to. You're the problem.
Amen.
It's in an evil spirit. Amen. And God said, the judgment's coming on you. Hey, look at this in Psalms chapter number 7. Hold your place in Judges always. Judges 9. Psalms chapter number 7. God said, judgment's coming. You ain't going to get by. Go ahead. You think you might, but it's coming. It's coming. Maybe sooner than you think.
Amen.
Might not be as fast as you thought it was going to come, but when it comes, you'll wish to God it didn't come.
Yeah, you're right.
When all hell breaks loose and boy, the stuff hits the fan, you want to run. You better run out and repent before God does something. That's what you ought to do. That's the right thing to do. Just so repent and get right with God. When Jotham got up there and preached, they should have bowed before God. Said, God, forgive us. We should have never made Abimelech king. I should have never teamed up with that kind of worldly person. They're going to destroy my life, and God will forgive you for it. But if you won't judge yourself, 1 Corinthians, the Bible says, hey, God will judge you. But this caused many to seek and weak and, you know, all that stuff. Why? Because you wouldn't judge yourself. Get it right. Repent. Go ahead. Help yourself. Some of you already, you've bent on doing wrong.
Yep.
Like that, what they said in the Old Testament, my people have bent the backslide. You're already leaning that direction. You've bent in that order, and that's where you're going.
Yep.
But there's repercussions.
Amen, preacher.
Psalms chapter number 7. Look in verse number 16. His mischief shall return upon his own what? And his violent dealing shall come down upon his own plate. You see that? His own plate. Right there. It's coming to you, buddy. On your own head. You know what happens to Abimelech? You know it's a prophecy of? You know what Abimelech's the type of? He's the type of the Antichrist. It's going to come on his own head. You know what you're doing? You're following the spirit of the Antichrist when you go in that direction. And Abimelech's that type of the Antichrist. And that's a prophecy of the Antichrist in Psalms chapter number 6. That's going to happen to the Antichrist in the end. That raised up against God's people, you know. Got people to sign up and take the mark of the beast in their forehead or in their hand. And he said, yeah, sign up. We'll take you as one of them. And they made him to be king. And God said, it's coming back on your head. God prophesied at the beginning in Genesis 3:15. It's going to bruise his head. It's going to happen a deadly wound just like Abimelech, just like the Antichrist. It's going to come back one day. Well, the prophecy in Genesis 3:15, and it still ain't came home, but it's coming home. Coming home. Coming home. About 6,000 years later. And that thing prophecy is going to come to pass.
Yep.
It didn't come to pass, amen, when Jesus Christ died on the cross. He triumphed him over, but that bruise in the head is going to happen in the end. Same thing we saw over in Revelation, Romans chapter number 16. It's coming, amen. That prophecy will be fulfilled. And God will do it the same as he done Abimelech, same as he's going to do to Antichrist. He'll do it to you and I if we disobey the Lord. Look back in Judges chapter number 9. The treacherous dealings. This is the way it all starts, with dealings. Making deals. Deceiving and being deceived. False peace makes it look like we're getting by. Evil friends turning on one another. Shechem leaves. And now you know what happens? Shechem leaves Abimelech and he leagues up with Gaal. Now he got somebody else to be his friend. Ain't it amazing that's how that thing works a lot of times? You at odds with one another, then you team up with somebody else, and then y'all two against them. And then y'all two against them. You know, I passed it long enough. That's how it always raised. That's how our teenagers have always been raised up. They're little cliques. And they act good at one another, and they hate this one over here, and then they team up with this, and they hate this one over here. That's the way y'all done it all your life. And you just get whoever you can get together to justify what we're doing, you know. Make it all right what we're doing, amen. And cut the other one's throat. Usually the one you're cutting his throat is probably usually the one that's trying to do right at that time. That's kind of woke up a little bit and say, that's enough. I need to get away and get right with God. And then before long, they'll go back carnal because that's the way the flesh does. And then they'll league up with that carnal. And then they'll lead this spiritual over here that got right and went it all and got right over Jotham's preaching, you know. And they'll league up with one another to do wrong. And then God will stir up a spirit between them. And then they'll go back. That's the way it works. And we're looking for somebody to get together to justify what we do. And God said, it's going to come back to get you. Now Gaal, now they made him to be king. Now he comes in there. Look in verse 25. The Bible said, and the men of Shechem set liars in wait. Liars. What a bunch of liars, ain't they? For him to in the top of the mountains. And they robbed all that came along that way by them. And it was told Abimelech. Now the men of Shechem and the evil spirits between them and Abimelech. And they get up in the mountain. And anybody coming into the city, they trying to rob them. They trying to get them on their side. Now let me tell you how what we ought to do. This is what I do, you know. This we'll see a little bit later. This is what happens. And then here comes this Gaal. He comes into the picture. In verse 26, and Gaal the son of Eber came with his brethren and went over to Shechem. Now listen. And the men of Shechem put their confidence in him. They didn't put it in God. They ain't put it in the preaching of Jotham. They tired of Abimelech. Evil spirits between them two. Now they put their confidence in somebody else. Ain't never good to put your confidence in man anyhow, is it? The arm of flesh will fail you, you know. But here it is. We got another one. Gaal's come into the picture and we like him. And this now there's treacherous dealings going on. Now I said these treacherous dealings lead to treacherous doings. And that's what I want to talk about now. In verse 27 through 45, all you see after the dealings and the dealing of getting together and making deals with one another and cutting somebody else down, now the doings come in. You ain't going to deal but so long in it before you start doing stuff that ain't right.
Yeah.
You can talk about it, you know, and kind of conjure it up and kind of deceive one another and deceive parents and, you know, deceive the boss man. But for so long, you're going to start diving into it. And this is where it gets bad. Yeah. The treacherous doings. What I see, number one, I see the evil of Shechem and Gaal. They come together for evil. They put their confidence in him. Verse 27, look. And they went out into the fields and gathered their vineyards and trod the grapes and made merry and went into the house of their God. Look how bad it gets. And did eat and drink and cursed Abimelech. They get out there and they get in their wine, start drinking that fermented hooch. They start worshiping their gods, little g, and then they start cursing Abimelech. And Gaal, when he got drunk, here's what he did. He started running off of that mile, like any other drunk does, you know. Out there cursing Abimelech, talking real big. Abimelech ain't in the picture, amen. And you get your little crowd, start running that mile, how bad and big you are, you know. That spirit's come in them. In this case, that spirit was led by alcohol. And boy, it will influence your life. We'll see in the book of Proverbs in a minute how to cause your mouth to go to running off and getting bigger than what you think you are. And it's going to come back to get you.
Yeah.
But I don't care whether that spirit's alcohol or drugs or things in pornography and guilt and garbage we put before our eyes and enter them spirits into those gates, whether through the gate of hearing or gate of smelling or the gate of taste, amen, or the gate of sight. It's got to get in there, amen. And when it gets in there, that spirit starts raging. Now here it is with alcohol with them. And look what he did in verse 28. And Gaal, the son of Eber, said, who is Abimelech? Who is Shechem? that we should serve him. Shechem had made Gaal to be their leader, and he said, who are we that we should serve this guy? Look, is he not the son of Jerubbaal? Yeah, he sure was. Sure didn't act like it though, did he? And Zebulun, his officer? Sure, running his mouth about his officer that he's got over there. Well, they're gonna come back and get him, won't it? He said this, serve the men of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for why should we serve him? What business we got serving him? We can do our own thing. This leads to treacherous doings. The evil of Shechem leads up with the evil of Gaal. And they come together to do evil. The Bible said they drink, they eat, and be merry, and what? Curse. They eat, drink, and curse. Ain't that a good combination? That's what the Bible talks about over there in the New Testament over there. Over there in Luke chapter number 12, verse 19, that rich man tore down his barns, and I'll take ease, and I'll eat and drink and be merry. You know what happens? He said, thou fool, because you're eating and drinking leads to not merriness in your heart, leads to deception. And they eat and drink and thought they merry to do evil among below the sun. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 15 talks about it. They eat and drank and began to curse. Amen. Why? Because that drinking brought a spirit on, and that spirit was wicked. Now look at this in Proverbs chapter 23. Hold your place in Judges. Proverbs 23. Do you know it is a sin to drink, don't you?
Come on.
Well, the Lord drunk a little wine, preacher. You lying to yourself. Lord didn't drink fermented hooch. He'd have been a sinner is what he'd have been. Habakkuk 2:15. He didn't put the bottle to them to be drunk and look on their nakedness. That had been sin. God spoke about it. He didn't turn that water into wine, fermented liquor. Our Lord's not a sinner, amen. Don't blaspheme my God like that because you can justify your kind of drinking binge and live like hell and drink your wine coolers and your wine and your liquor and Budweiser. Ain't no good in that kind of mess. It's going to destroy you. Young people, you listen to me. Go ahead and drink a little bit. It comes with a lot more than you thought it'd come with.
Amen.
God warns about it, amen. Give the drink to him that's perishing. You dying? Might be. Dying spiritually. Look in Proverbs 23. Look at this. No business drinking. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what you've been through. I don't care how much you think you can handle.
Amen.
You got no business with that kind of thing. Yet, matter of fact, he's talking about drinking, but you got no business trying to indulge in anything that affects your spirit.
Amen.
In an evil way.
Amen.
You do whatever. You write the sentence and draw the line and fill in the blank.
Yep.
You dealing with stuff that's affecting your spirit in an evil light, you better get away from it.
Amen.
It's causing you not to look at God the right way, look at your brother in the right way, lose your love for the Word of God and the things of God. It is evil. You better run from it.
Yep.
It's affecting your spirit in a bad way.
Mm-hmm.
You better leave it alone. A lot of people affected by that kind of stuff. A lot of them.
Yep.
I throw this out there. I'm pitching, right? Spitball. Let me tell you what some stuff that some of you dabbling with, especially in this age where everybody's got to be fit and healthy and got to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
Some of you may be taking weight loss pills.
Go ahead.
Right. You ever thought about that's why you're such an edgy, stinking, ill wife when your husband comes home from laboring all day?
Yeah.
You don't think that stuff comes with a spirit?
Amen.
Better obey your doctor on what you ought to take.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, a lot of you indulging in things to try to make yourself look good for the world, not your husband anyhow, and you're taking that kind of mess and engulfing it, amen, and it's affecting the way you think. You ain't going to take any kind of pharmaceutical, and I'm no doctor. I'm going to tell you not to obey your doctor. You obey your doctor is what you better do. But I'm going to tell you this. You ain't going to take any of it. It ain't going to affect your spirit in some way or another. And you're indulging in that kind of mess, and it's affecting your spirit. And some of you might have to have it. You have to have it. Take it, amen. Ask God to help you. But you better pray more. You better read more. You better lean more on God, or that stuff's going to destroy you is what it's going to do. No spirits are coming in on you, and you're thinking things is crazy.
Yep.
People thinking about suicide and evil. Man, I'm telling you, it's wickedness of the devil to want to destroy you is what it is. And we don't see it. And we just ungovern it. Why? That we might please ourselves. Proverbs 23, look in verse 29. Don't get cut off on me. I'm trying to help you tonight. Those treacherous dealings will lead to treacherous doings, and those doings will be to your demise. You're going to destroy your own self. You with me?
Amen.
Verse 29. Who hath woe? Anybody want to know who that is? Who hath sorrow? Well, who wants that kind of stuff? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? Who are they? They that tarry long at the wine. They that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, and when it moveth itself aright. You know what happens when that thing starts fermenting? It starts moving. It starts taking on a life. It starts taking on a spirit. There's still some stores around that you go and buy it, wine and spirits. You read the sign before you go in there and buy it. What you getting? You're getting the wine with the spirit. Old timers knew something about that. It moveth itself the right. You getting that spirit is what you're doing. Maybe you're not doing it in wine, but you're doing it in something. You getting that spirit with it. Look. You know what it does? They have woe. They have babblings. They have contentions. They run it off at their mouth. They have wounds. The Bible said at the last, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Well, you're having a good time when you're getting high. And you're enjoying that kind of warped mind. You think, boy, this is all good. But then the sting comes.
Yep.
Then the outer bites, amen. Then the Bible said, then thine eyes shall behold strange women. And thy heart shall utter perverse things.
Yep. Yep.
That mouth start running. Your eyes start looking at stuff that's wrong, strange stuff. Somebody other than your wife. And you start running that mouth. Who is Abimelech? That's what he said. He started running that mouth when that wine got in there. Some of you start running that mouth when you got that spirit in you.
Come on.
Look, look. Verse 34, Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. What's he talking about? Seasickness. You ever been seasick? You ever been out in the boat and throwing up your guts while everybody else trying to fish? Maybe you ain't been there, but you ever been with something you ought not to been with, and you wake up with a throbbing headache and throwing your guts out, dry heaving, and wish to God you'd die maybe? You ever been that sick? Some of you been there in your drunken stupors and playing with spirits, haven't you? Wish to God you'd die. Aren't you glad he didn't kill you? I say amen to myself. But that's what it'll do. It'll make you want to leave this stinking world. You can't take it no more. You're thinking out of your stinking mind. Here's what they say, look. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. Wonder why you didn't feel it. When shall I awake? I will seek it. Here's the sad thing, yet again. You think, if I ever get out of this, I'll never do it again. That only problem is that old flesh has tasted it, likes it, and wants to do it again. And somehow you convince yourself, it's okay. If it's not Abimelech, it'll be Gaal. Whoever, it's okay, we'll do it again. Treacherous dealing, doings. Look back in Judges chapter number 9. I believe the Lord trying to warn somebody tonight. You better listen. Eating and drinking and cursing. Drinking causes all kinds of evil. He said in verse number 29. He said, are you ready? Verse 9, verse 29. Chapter 9, verse 29. He said, and would to God this people were under my hand, then would I remove Abimelech. And he said, to Abimelech, increase thine army and come out. Would to God they were under my hand. I said when we read it, sounds like Absalom. Read 2 Samuel 15, Absalom trying to overthrow David, the right man of God. When people get like that, try to overthrow the man of God, try to get their own agenda across. Verse 30 through 33, Zebul, Abimelech's officer, his deception. Here he is over there, kind of quiet, listening to everything going on. But he's Abimelech's officer. Even Gaal spoke about it when he was in his drunken stupor in verse 28. And Zubal, his officer. And he's sitting back there listening. Verse 30, the Bible said, and when Zubal, the ruler of the city, heard the words of Gaal, the son of Eber, his anger was kindled. He didn't like it. He's talking about my leader. You talking about me. And he sent messengers unto Abimelech privately, saying, behold, Gaal, the son of Ebed, and his brethren be come to Shechem, and behold, they fortify the city against thee. Then he tells him what to do. Up by night, go get ready, get yourself in place, and get ready to destroy. Zebul, Abimelech's officer, he deceives Gaal and the men of Shechem. and goes back and tells Abimelech what's going to go on. Zebul turns on Gaal to save himself. That's what he does. In verse 34 through 4, verse 41, he turned on him. Everybody, you know what you see in this story over here of this this rule of ruin? Everybody cutting everybody else's throat trying to get by. And that's what happens when you start living that kind of way. You cut anybody's throat to get by. Zebul thought, well, I'll go tell Abimelech and I'll save my people. I'll save a few and we'll save myself. But Abimelech's going to kill Shechem. He's going to kill every one of them. And Zebul thought, well, if I just turn over Gaal and his brethren that kind of raised up, and here they are, and that's what he does. He says, Abimelech, here they come. They're going to be here. Go kill every one of them. But Abimelech not only wants to kill Gaal for running his mouth and teaming up with Shechem, he wants to kill the people of Shechem because God doesn't send an evil spirit between all of them. And his counselor that let him know about Gaal to try to diverge a little bit and try to save a few people of Shechem, it ain't going to work. He's going to kill them anyhow. And when somebody's out to do wickedness, they're going to kill everybody. They don't care who they get, amen, as long as they get on the top of the ladder. And Abimelech was that kind of way. His treacherous doings. He don't save the people of Shechem. He destroys them. This is the treacherous destruction. Look in verse 42. And it came to pass on the morrow that the people went out in the fields and they told Abimelech. And he took the people and divided them into three companies. What did he do? He divides them up. Abimelech destroys the whole city. I mean, you get down to verse 45, he even salted the whole land. You know why he salted the land? To stop any crops from growing back up. He destroyed any growth. He wanted to make sure I'm killing them and I ain't leaving nothing for them to rebuild and get back up. Salted the whole city. Kind of like the salt seed. Ain't nothing growing. It's all dead. And he salted it down. He killed them all and made sure there wasn't nobody coming back. He destroyed the city. He killed them all. Zebul thought, well, if I turn over Gaal, he would save the city, but he ain't saving the city. He's out to kill the city. He's out to destroy the people of Shechem. And that's the way the stinking devil is. He wants to destroy it all. You think we'll make a deal with the devil and we'll get... No, he's going to kill it all. He come to steal, kill, and destroy. You ain't making league with the devil, the flesh, or the world and get anything good out of it.
Amen.
I don't care who you think your friends are, they're going to kill you. It's going to happen. So what did they do? They fled. They went into their tower. Hey, man, I'm trying to give you a little bit. Verse 46, look. The Bible said, and when all the men that, then when all the men of the tower, and when all the men of the tower of Shechem heard that, they entered into the hold of the house of the god Bareth. You know what they did? They ran into their god's temple. And they went in there and said, we'll be safe with our gods. And what does Abimelech does? He goes down and cut limbs, and he said, everybody do what I do. And they cut them down with him, and they laid them upon that temple, and he lit the thing on fire, just like God said the bramble bush was going to do. He's going to burn them up and destroy every one of them. And he burned them down in their temple of worship of their false gods. You know what's amazing about it? That's where it all started. Look back in chapter 9, look in verse number 4. You remember when Abimelech come down there and said, do you want all the sons or me to be your king? You want me to be your ruler? And look what they did in verse 4. And they gave him 70 pieces of silver out of the house of Baal-Berith, wherewith Abimelech hired vain and light persons which followed him. Do you know what they did, the men of Shechem? They went into their god of worship in Baal, and they took the offering money and gave it to Abimelech to raise up people to run his campaign and made him king. And where it all started, where they raised money to make him, that's where they fled thinking that God was going to help them again. Yeah. And they died exactly where it started.
Amen.
They reaped exactly what they sowed. Burn them down with their own gods. Right where their sin started. You ain't going to get by. You know what Abimelech does in his treacherous destruction? He slew the men of Shechem. He burnt down their gods and their place of worship. And then Abimelech, with his pride and rage, full of all kind of the steam, that, hey, I just destroyed them all. I destroyed Gaal. I destroyed Shechem. I burnt their false gods down. Now he goes to enlarge it a little bit more. Said, I'll just destroy some more. He gets full of himself. Like the Antichrist, when he starts raking havoc in the tribulation and he starts destroying all these Jews fleeing in the mountain. He said, I'll just broaden it out a little bit more. Oh, don't worry. It's coming. And he broadens it out in verse 50 through 57. And he went to Thebes and encamped against Thebes and took it. He had a desire to kill everybody. You know what happens? He goes down there and he gets a little bit close to that wall, thinking, I'm going to burn this one down like the last one. And a little old lady reached down and picked up a millstone. And he got too close, and she dropped it on his head and busted his skull. And he's about to die, and he calls his young armor bearer, and he says, slay me that they won't say a woman killed me. And he jabbed him and killed him.
Yeah.
And you know what God said? You thought you were going to leave a good heritage that just a woman killed you when David's over there and he sends out to have Uriah killed. You remember what he did? And they got close to the wall. He said, no, you're not. They'll shoot from the wall. And he goes, did not Abimelech get too close? And that woman threw a millstone down and killed him. Yeah, that was his legacy. It was left. God had it done, kept it and wrote it down. You might make it out to look like something, but God's going to show you what's going to get you. That little weak thing's going to be the thing that's going to destroy you.
Amen.
And you thought you big and bad and tough. And here he is destroyed by a millstone of a woman. And God, the repercussions come down. Verse 56, God rendered the wickedness of Abimelech, which he did to his father, and slaying his 70 brother by killing him. And not only Abimelech, verse 57, and all the evil of the men of Shechem did God render upon their heads, and upon them came the curse of Jotham, the son of Jerubbaal. And I thought, just in closing, Jotham goes up there and he preaches, that son that didn't get killed. And look back in verse 21, and Jotham ran away and fled and went to Beer. He didn't run to Beer. That's what Gaal and them did and got killed. It was a place. You know what Beer means anyhow? A place of water. He ran to that place of water for fear of Abimelech, his brother. And it's like the Jews in the tribulation fleeing and running away because of Abimelech that's coming. They're fleeing under mountains. Yeah. But he ran to that place of water. Do you know what? When all this destruction and repercussions is going on in the land, you know who ain't mentioned? Jotham. When all hell's breaking loose with Gaal and Thebes and Abimelech and the people of Shechem, and all that's going out and all the cutting throat and stabbing backs and killing one another, Jotham ain't nowhere around.
Yep.
You know who Jotham is? He's that godly one that said, I ain't getting involved in that kind of mess. You go ahead and do whatever you want to. I'm going by the well. I'm going to Beer. I'm going to pick up my Bible and I'm going to lay down with God. And I'm going to sup with Him while you go and live in your wickedness. I'm staying far away from you. That's what you ought to do. People start acting like that. Run and get with your Bible and get on your knees and let God help you. He ain't mentioned. He ain't around while all the evil is going on. He runs to the place of water. Stays with the book. Could I say this, number two? If you can't run, whatever you do, don't be an Abimelech. You know what Abimelech was in your New Testament? Abimelech was that one that loveth to have the preeminence. God raised up all these great judges throughout the book of Judges to deliver his people. And Abimelech said, I want to be the one. I don't like sitting back and let somebody else lead. I want to be the leader. Let me be the leader. He's a self-made man. He's a man that wants the preeminence. He's that one in the church always trying to dictate everything. But look in John. Look in 3 John. 3 John. You can leave Jude. 3 John. Let me just give you this. Better watch him Abimelech's raising up to overthrow. Yeah, it's a sweet book, the book of 3 John. You got Gaius over here, that well-beloved, who loved the truth, you know, and he had no greater joy than to hear his brother walk in the truth and all that kind of stuff. Verse 4. But while he's talking about that guy, there's a guy in the church, Diotrephes. The Bible said in verse number 9, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. You know what John, that John the beloved, that one that laid his head on the breast of the Lord, that loving John said? He said, wherefore if I come, I'll remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words. And not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. He says, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil have not seen God. Amen. Could I say, if you can't run, be a Jotham, run away from it. Whatever you do, don't be an Abimelech. Don't be one that's got to exhort yourself and make yourself out to be something. Let God make what's going to be made. Abimelech's are wicked. They ought to destroy the church. They're not out to bless it. They're not out to make it better. They just kind of come in to stir up some ruckus. By the way, if you read Colossians 1:18, all preeminence belongs to Jesus Christ. Amen. It ain't about you. It ain't about me. It ain't about Hopewell Church. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can team up with Abimelech's or Gaal's, or you can run down to the city of Thebes, whatever you want to do. You can get with the men of Shechem. You can have your drunken stupors and run your mouths and all you want to do. God said, I'm the one, and I'll pay. Watch out your evil dealings. They're going to lead to evil doings, and your evil doings are going to lead to your own destruction.
Yep.
That's what happened. Right in the middle of Judges, God throws this guy in there and said, here he is. There's that one that wants the preeminence, trying to make himself out to be something. Just be what God wants you to be. Stay humble. Stay with your Bible. Stay on your knees. Let God bless your life. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.